Let me just start with a word from the Word, and then we'll start with a word of prayer. And I love this, and probably one of the most famous passages about singing. But just in case you were ever wondering, should I be worshiping the Lord? Psalm 92 says, "Yes, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning, and your faithfulness by night." Heavenly Father, we thank you and we declare your faithfulness in all things to all of your people throughout the history of your relationship with man. We thank you that the scarlet thread of your redemptive purpose goes throughout the history that we know of you from Genesis to Revelation. And we thank you that you've called us to be redeemed and made a way for us to be redeemed through your all-sufficient merit, not ours. And because of that, we're just so grateful that you then give us the opportunity to sing. Because what would we do if we didn't have this opportunity? We would have our words, but when we add the music that you created, it just captures our heart towards you, Lord. So help us to do that well with excellence, because you are a completely excellent and perfect God. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you have been to one of my breakout sessions before? Okay, that's good, because I really want to go over a few things that we've talked about before, if y'all will give that to me. First of all, just a little bit of a bio. I have had the privilege of being involved in Christian music and worship since about 1967. I went to a church that actually had a junior high choir. And so I got involved in actually serving like that back then. And so during that time, I've seen all of the trends of worship music, you know? And it's really neat to be in a situation where, and I thank God for it, he's just equipped me to hopefully speak everyone's language in worship. The older folks in my church, the younger folks in my church, so I'm very blessed. I was a full-time worship pastor for 17 years at a church in the San Fernando Valley. I live in Santa Clarita. I'm married for this next month, 45 years. And we have two kids and two grandkids, and just super blessed. I'm in a church there that I would say is a contemporary worship-focused church, but it also is solid, well, not but in addition to that, in the worship and in the teaching of Scripture, they're solid. And it's just great to be a part of that. I get to be on the worship team on that group. And it's kind of funny because I think I'm 30 to 40 years older than most everybody on the platform, you know, so I feel very blessed with that. I have been a professional singer in Los Angeles since 1977. When I was asked to do you can ask your grandparents about this, or some of you in the room might know, when I was asked to sound like Glenn Campbell singing Southern Nights. And they actually paid me to do that. And I said, oh, I'd like to do more of this. So the Lord gave me, well, still continues to give me opportunities to do recording sessions in Los Angeles. And I only say this because it's by God's grace that I get to do any of it. But I had an opportunity to sing on most of the Disney films in the 90s, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, Mulan, the Tigger movie. Sang for commercials for Honda Motorcycles and Farmers Insurance. Not the We Are Farmers, which I'm thinking to myself, boy, that took a lot of creativity. Anyway, and then singing for Christian artists and other artists, Kenny Loggins and Neil Diamond and Steve Green and Steve Camp, and I'm just so grateful. If you really go way back, my first paying job in the Christian music world was to be a part of the Haven of Rest Quartet. Haven, anybody know anything about that? Yeah, two of you. That's great. And most recently, I'm just really blessed that God gives me opportunities like this to be involved in other worship teams for conferences like this, and to be up with these incredible musicians and other singers is just such a privilege. But I also had a chance to sing on the Hymns of Grace series on hymnology, if any of you have seen that. So that's kind of my bio. I just wanted to talk a little bit about, before we get into some of the other things, just kind of a foundation for why we do what we do. And it was kind of neat because the Lord was speaking to Sean, I guess, as well as he was speaking to me, because he was talking about Romans 11. And I just want us to look over, and I read it last night, Romans 12, 1 and 2, one more time, and think of it a little bit more in the context of leading worship. Because we look at this and we think, well, this is just a great call that Paul is giving us to really act more like a believer and to not be change our thinking and everything. But when you look at it, it's incredible for what it has to say about worship. So I'll just read it again. Romans 12 says, I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God. And I just wanted to point out that therefore, whenever you see that, and I'm sure your pastors have always said, what is the therefore, therefore? Well, the therefore in this case is the ending verses of Romans 11, which we talked about. You know, oh, how great are the mercies of the depth of the riches and the wisdom of knowledge of God. And then before that, he talks about how Gentiles are drafted into the family, are grafted in by God, by Christ's sacrifice. So because of that, and because of his mercies, and it was by his mercies that you are even a believer, right? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern the will of God is what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I just thought, you know, the main thing that he speaks about there is presenting all that we are to God. Not just Sundays, not just the stuff that we're good at, but everything that we do, even if it's not, as I was able to do, not directly serving the body of Christ. When I was in the recording studios in Los Angeles, I wasn't working in a Christian environment. But I prayed that God would help me to be a light in the darkness. And I can't tell you how many times he just honored himself, glorified himself just by allowing me to be a witness of what the Lord had done. But everything we do, and then he goes further and says, it is an act of worship. So in our context, as people who are involved in the worship team, we think of where we're getting ready for the worship service. But honestly, I know what goes into being a part of a worship service. You know, you've got to look over your music, you know, the week before. You've got to warm up. Hopefully, we'll talk about that. You got to get there on time. Sometimes, as you're trying to take care of four children, you know, you give your time. And that, too, just that rehearsal is an act of worship. It's a sacrifice that you're giving to the Lord. And so it's helped me to really appreciate rehearsals, because I just say, Lord, I'm gonna give this to you. It's an act of my sacrifice, because you sacrificed everything for me. And I hope that can give you a really good a good concept of why the things that are not easy to do for us, if we're doing it for his glory, all of a sudden, and we know that that is a sacrifice to him, that's great. I also thought he mentions here that he wants us to present our bodies. as a sacrifice. Present and sacrifice. So, you know, when I asked my wife to marry me, I spent a lot of time finding just the right engagement ring and just the right place. I mean, it had to be, you know, romantic, and I had to have somebody hidden with a camera. And it was a camera back then, you guys. It wasn't a phone. And I really wanted to present not just this symbol of what I was asking her to do, but my intention. You know, it was a big deal. And I think sometimes when we are doing whatever we're doing for the Lord, sometimes we kind of lose the presenting part of it, because we get into the, it's just, we do it by rote. And it's not that we don't care, we just don't think about that. And I think sometimes we kind of go over that word and go, But to present something really means that it's valuable to us. And then I think that there's something here about letting God change our minds to be more like Him. This is what, don't be conformed to this world or even a worldview that is contrary to who He is, but be transformed. So pray about that. You know, maybe some of y'all come from maybe not growing up in the church, and maybe, you know, having a whole different way of looking at things, and God is continually helping all of us to think like Him and act like Him, and we should pray for that. We really should. And then I love he finishes that with presenting what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our God is a perfect God. He displays His excellence in creation, and our mindset, really, regardless of our talent level, actually, should be to give Him the very best that we can. So we'll talk about some of those things in how to do that. But I hope it makes sense to you. So here's a few things that we're going to talk about in taking this gift that He's given us, our voice. None of us, went into the laboratory and, created a voice, or went into the woodshed and started, carving out something. This is something that the Lord gave us. Sometimes we kind of forget that. In fact, I was reading one of our songs today, and it's a newer song for me, For His Glory and My Good. And the first time I sang it, I said, "For my glory and His," and I really did. I don't know if you guys caught it, but I won't ever do that again. But we just want to give Him glory in everything that we do, and especially in this. Honestly, I loved what Sean said about, if you were in the question and answer, about the importance of the role of the pastor, and our submitting even to his authority as he's submitting to the authority of God. But I want to expound on that a little bit, because I really believe that people's emotions are more engaged when we're singing together than they are in a sermon. And that's okay, unless, there's some churches where, man, they're preaching and everybody's saying amen and hallelujah. But honestly, we are in charge of a very vulnerable part of people's constitution when we're up leading worship. And so it's as incumbent on us to make sure, number one, that we're setting a good example in our sacrificial presentation, but also that we understand what we're singing and we're singing the truth, right? That's why, to me, it's hard to see, when I see the most popular worship songs that aren't presenting the truth, because I feel like we bear almost the same responsibility and being accountable to the Lord about how we are representing Him, okay? And so, I just just that's kind of what I was thinking. So good, acceptable, and perfect. I want to talk a little bit about the physiology of our voices so we kind of understand. And how many of you here, you've come because you are strictly worship singer or choir member or whatever, or you want to be? Okay, so and you can start making notes if you want here. We need to care for the gift that God has given us. And I think that sometimes we just kind of, I mean, singing is kind of like breathing to us. It just comes naturally, and we do it in the shower, and we do it in the car, and we don't realize that this is a gift that we need to steward well, you know. My favorite thing is I will talk to people, especially guys, about, you know, joining the choir or whatever. They say, oh, yeah, no, I can't sing. I sing in the shower, you know. So I've wanted somebody to come up with a little headpiece that I could have that kind of looks like a shower curtain that they could wear, and maybe they'd feel more comfortable. But your voice is made up of two important parts. And one is the larynx, which involves, this is the physiology of your voice, your respiratory system, your lungs, and the larynx. And the larynx are also called the vocal cords, okay? And the second part of it is the pharynx, which is the tongue and your palate and the lips and the nasal passages. So think of it as the larynx is what is produced, and the pharynx is what how it's interpreted to express itself, okay? And a lot of times, people don't realize the need for seeing, and these are all, they all involve the use of muscles. And so sometimes we're like, you know, what they call the weekend warriors. You know, we go out once a week and we just, you know, do something at the top of our lungs, or, you know, somebody will run 10 miles and then not do anything the rest of the week. And they wonder why they're sore afterwards. Sometimes that's the way we are with our voices. And so I want to just demonstrate a little bit about how you can loosen up this whole area, first of all, and then I'm going to talk about a little bit more of the larynx part of it. But how many of you do vocalize or warm up before you sing? Nobody, no judgment here. I just want to know. Okay. How many of you do it more than once a week? Okay, this is good. So I'm going to take you, if you haven't done it before, I'm going to just take you through a little bit of warm-up here, and it's real easy. Once you do this, if you have a decent ear, you don't need to have a piano. You can just come and do this, and you can do it in the car. It takes about 5 minutes, okay? So I want you to sing the syllables to Alleluia. Alleluia. Okay? And it'll go like this. Alleluia. And ladies, you can sing it up here. And Alleluia. And guys, you're down here. And let's try it together. Here we go. And Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Now just go to awe for me. Ah, 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 one more. Ah. Good. So if you didn't know, you got up to an F, And some of you guys are going, an F? Well, I've never sung anything over a C. So that's one thing also. The more you do this, you'll be surprised about your range. You can sing higher or lower than you think, mostly higher, because we just get so afraid around here that we're like, I don't know if I want to go any higher than that. But the other thing about this is your vocal cords are elastic and they stretch. And so I've had people come into my choir who, especially guys, again, who were basses, and I was able to, after like 3 years, they were singing first tenor just because we just kept doing it. Now, the reason that you can do this is, I think that took us about a minute and a half. And the best thing is to do when you get back here, okay, then start going back down. So you start here. And so on and so on until you get back to C, but don't stop there. Okay, so ah, ladies, ah, guys, alleluia, 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 hum. Take a deep breath and hold it when we get there. Doesn't that feel good? You can do that. It takes 5 minutes. Now, if you want to stretch it out and do something that doesn't take as long, but it takes less time, but you're still doing the same thing. I was doing, if you kind of know the scale, C is 1, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1. Then you can go to 1, 3, 5, 3, 1. Okay, and again, that's another way to just keep doing it. And if you're going to do that, there's a couple things. First of all, take time the first time through not to really push yourself. I would do these, even especially if you don't get into those really high notes, sometimes you have to open up. But think of it as, if you know musical terms, not piano, not super soft, but almost just mezzo piano. So I would start with alleluia, as opposed to alleluia, because again, that's like getting in your car, starting it up, and hitting the floor and just going. Give yourself a chance to warm up as you're warming up. A couple other things. A lot of people, when they sing, especially when they're going for high notes or low notes, they look up when they're going higher, and they look down when they go lower, right? Alleluia. Well, here's the thing. If you don't keep this open, you're not going to get any sound out, and also you're causing strain on these muscles. So the best thing to do is, however you're singing, try to make sure you're always facing forward. And the way to do that is to open your mouth, okay? I know people who sing, and they sing beautifully, but their mouths are open about that big, okay? And I say, look, you got to let the horse out of the barn here. You got to open the door a little bit. And a lot of times, just opening your mouth will produce more sound and volume, even though you're not changing the volume you're using, right? The difference is this. Let's say two ways to sing. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Now, I'm going to open my mouth a little bit more. I'm going to smile a little bit because I'm not singing about, you know, like a broken toe. I'm not going to change my volume at all. But watch, we sing with every part of our body. But we sing with our eyes. We sing with our smiles, raising our cheeks a little bit. So, try this. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Didn't change the volume at all, but I opened the barn door a little bit so the sound could get out. And this helps also when you're trying to produce a sound that is high, but it's on a tight vowel like E, right? And I don't want you to, a lot of vocal teachers will teach you how to sing in a classical style. There's nothing wrong with that. But most of what y'all are going to be doing on a Sunday morning is not going to ask you to sing something that was written by Mozart. If I'm going to sing something like E, we will see him as he is. I'm still opening my mouth and opening out up. I'm trying not to go, we will see him as he is. Again, people do that, and then they wonder why their voice is tired. The other thing you should keep open when you're singing is not just your mouth, but the back of your throat. Try as best as you can, especially when you get into those higher things, to not tense this part up, because it's a muscle, right? Does that make sense? Now, as I mentioned before, if you're just warming up once a week, it'll help you for that day, but it's not going to help you over the long haul to develop a strong voice. I would really encourage you to at least start by adding one more warm-up per week. It's just going to help you, because it's like anything else. If you go to the gym, first time you're doing, your 20-pound curls, afterwards it's going to really hurt. Or in my case, lunges. What is up with those? Who invented those? And the quads just kill you, right? But if you do it more than once a week, you're going to build up that muscle so it's not as sore. It'll be stronger. So I'd love you to be able to get to 3 times a week. Would be great. And I think it'll really help you not be so fatigued. Okay? Any questions about, just that kind of thing, the physiology of the voice? You were just scratching your ear. Not a problem. Okay. Well, good. Did I miss any? If somebody's raising a hand and I don't see it, don't worry about that. I don't have great eyesight. When I go to the eye doctor, I don't read the chart. He reads it and I say true or false. It's just, I was born with albinism and I see well enough to drive and do a lot of things, but sometimes I just don't see things. So if I miss you, it's not because I don't care. Yes. We got two things, but one of the most simple things, and I learned this from a professional voiceover artist when I was listening to him talk about the voice, and some of you guys have heard this, is yawning. I mean, and I'm not just talking about a, I'm talking about a, that just warms up this whole part of your body and especially your throat. And if you can get in 2 or 3 of those, sometime before you're starting to sing, it will, because it helps to relax those muscles. That's one of the things. We're going to talk also about breathing, which I find to be very important, don't you? But I'm talking specifically about singing. And you probably heard about this, maybe if you've been in a choir, they talk about breathing, but a lot of times we haven't even thought about this. So most people, when they breathe, in fact, let's just do the test. Sit up straight. First of all, whenever you sing, sit up straight. You're just not going to be able to produce a lot of sound like this. You got to kind of open up. What I want you to do is on the count of three, take a deep breath. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, so how many of you, when you did that, you went like this? Okay, all right, and that's our natural thing. Take a deep breath, throw those shoulders back, and you suck in your gut, which, you know, everybody wants to do that. That's a good thing, except when you're singing, because this is half of your breath support, your breath supply down here. If you just do this, you're only filling up half of your container. So it would be like having in your RV a reserve tank and never using it. So what we want to do is put your hand on your tummy here, and I want you to act like you're filling your stomach as a balloon with air before you breathe here. So I'll try to do this. So I'm talking about doing this. Okay, it's not going to, you know, win you any Noom commercials, you know, for how much weight you lost, because it pushes your stomach out. But it will really help you to support yourself when you're singing. And I think specifically to what you're talking about, I mean, let's face it, when people are telling you to relax, what's one of the first things they tell you to do? Take a deep breath and breathe it out slowly, right? Because that's one of the gifts that God gave us, is our breath, and doing it properly to help us to slow down our heart rate and kind of take our mind off of the things that are, you know, weighing us down. So let's try that. Let's just try it, okay? So I'll say on three, and then I want you to kind of let it out kind of slowly, okay? So here we go. One, two, three. Okay. Can you kind of tell the difference between that and this? You have, you know, like you're dying after 10 seconds. I'll tell you why. There's a lot of reasons why it's important. Number one, it's going to help you sing in tune. One of the reasons why a lot of people have trouble consistently singing in tune, like they'll start off a phrase in tune, but then they'll kind of drop at the end. It's because they've lost the breath support to push through to the end. Okay, the relaxing is something that we're talking about too. I kind of often think if you kind of had a very low powered hair dryer and you had it like this and it was turned on and you had a balloon and you were just trying to keep the balloon afloat, that's kind of what you're doing with your breath support with your voice. Keeps you in tune. It also helps you to phrase properly. There's a couple of worship songs. I don't know. I think the person who wrote it had no need to breathe, because as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul dances after thee. And I'm like, take a break. But a lot of times we sing like that. We'll sing, behold our God seated on his throne, come let us adore, right? We wouldn't talk like that. Behold our God seated on his throne. We would want to sing, we would want to complete that thought. So having the right breath support helps you to get through a phrase. So let's do this. We all know that song, right? Let's take a deep breath and sing that whole phrase, okay? So here's our breath. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Come, let us adore. Come, let us adore him. You see, the breath can really help you phrase it, and it can even help you to give dynamics at the beginning and then kind of build and then come back down toward the end of the phrase. So it's very important to learn how to breathe. And if you're having trouble getting that concept, because it is so counterintuitive, When you get home tonight, because I don't want to do it here in front of you, lay on your back, put your hand on your stomach, and try to breathe without pushing your stomach out, because you can't do it. Gravity will hold you down. So if you can kind of learn how to get in the habit of breathing out as opposed to just sucking it in, that'll really help you. Any questions about breathing? When did you think you'd ever ask somebody a question about breathing? Let's see. Do I start going, or do I start going? Okay. Let's see. What else did I want to say? So we talked about the yawning, and I know it is kind of silly, but try to remember to loosen up those vocal cords if you can. Okay, a couple other things that you can do is hydrating. And we kind of live in a society where everybody's, you know, carrying around a Yeti. But if you're not, I had to learn how to drink more water because I just never felt like I needed it as much. But we do need a lot of water, and especially as vocalists, it's important for us to keep this lubricated and again, not getting tight and dry, okay? So here's to you. And then stretching, you know, if you can and you want to, just try some full body stretches sometimes before you sing. Because how many times, sometimes we're standing up there for a half an hour straight or more. And it's nice to be able to kind of know that you're not freezing up in your legs and things like that. And I do want to remind you, too, that you can raise your pitch by raising your eyebrows and smiling more. Now, you know, I don't know if you want to do that on a song about, you know, something that's very sad. But, yeah. Let's see here. Okay, so let's talk about harmony. Let's see how we're doing here. Oh, we're doing good. How many of you feel like you're comfortable singing harmony? Okay, so, you know, they asked me to do this the first time a couple of years ago, and I'd never been asked. I mean, it's always just come so naturally to me, and it's almost like, how do I teach somebody to have really good ears? How do I teach somebody? I joke with Danny because we're big baseball fans. You know, how do you teach somebody to throw a 98-mile fastball? You know, it doesn't. Some people don't have that, but I found that with experience and the right aids to help you, you can start learning some harmony. And so one of the things that I would suggest that you do is listen. Listen to a lot of songs and artists who have a lot of harmonies in their presentations, you know. And the Gettys are part of that. The Beatles are amazing with that. Like, he's a real nowhere man. Okay, do you guys know that song? Okay, so it's, the melody is, he's a real nowhere man sitting in his nowhere land. Okay, who can sing the harmony with me? I'm singing here. Who can find the other one? He's, ladies. Yeah, here we go. So I'll sing the melody. If you can hear the harmony, sing it with me. One, two, three, and. He's a real nowhere man sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. You can listen to anything if you're listening. Oh, yeah, I know. Ask your grandparents. I want you to start thinking, if you want to sing harmony, start hearing anything but the melody. Because we're so focused on the melody, it's how we learn the songs, that you don't realize that there's all kinds of stuff going on outside the melody. So I'm going to ask a guy who feels like he can't sing harmony to come up and join me here. I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm gonna make you look really good, I hope.
Should I just point and have a
No, okay. I'm just asking if I could get a volunteer from the audience. I might even find a book to give away to you. I don't know. Nobody, huh? Oh, do it, man. Well, let's try this. Do you sing kind of low?
I don't know, low or high, not too low. Well,
come this way.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I want us to sing the deeply moving and completely complex song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. I want to even start a little lower. Row, ladies, you're there. Guys, you're here. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Okay, we got it, right? You could probably sing that, right? Okay, I want to teach you another part that's really simple, and it's a harmony. It goes like this. Play it again. Don't sing along. And row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Can you do that with me? Let's try it. It would sing here, what's the first note? Low. Okay, same note all the way across. And low, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Okay, huh? Now, we're going to sing that, and you guys are going to sing the melody. And you will have us outnumbered, but I think you'll hear us. Okay, you ready? Ready, John? Row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And again, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Okay, so the first thing you got to do, you and your modulations, your key changes, Barry Manilow. Okay, but you see, we just have to train ourselves to get away from the melody a little bit and try to find something else to do, right? Great job, buddy. I really appreciate that. Let me give you a couple of examples here. I have our dear friend Kristen Getty, and the song is O Church Arise, and let me get it for you. And there's some great harmony in here. I was told by somebody who learned, actually somebody who's on the platform today, somebody who sings harmony well, and I asked him, well, how did you do it? And he said, well, I learned there's two Christian artists that do really well in having harmony, but having it kind of separated in the stereo mix where you can hear the other part. He said Shane and Shane, yes, and the Gettys, right? So again, so take a listen to this. I think I got to go to about, let me see. Hold on. Yeah, I think I'm right there. Okay, so here we go. This is O Church. No, that's O Lord, My Rock and Mountain. No, that's not what I want. Sorry, guys. I got to get the right song here. O Church Arise. And I'm going to go. We'll listen to this for about a minute and a half, so you can kind of get familiar with the song again. And then at about a minute 50, I want you to listen in particular.
Battle.
Now they're going to add harmony about right here. It's coming up. I think about right here. You hear that? Now they made it a little easier because at the beginning he's singing a counterpoint to her melody, but then he starts singing with her. Okay, so let's listen to that one more time. We know the melody, arise, arise, right? And he's doing an answer to her. So listen to that and see if you can find it. And guys, if it's too high for you, try it anyway. Here we go. Here we go. Arise, arise, all that light. Arise, arise. Arise. Did that help? Yeah, you just start listening and try not to listen to the melody. Listen to what the harmony is singing. I've got Shane and Shane here, a little song that I like to call Psalm 23. We did it last night, okay? Hold on, and I'll find it for you. Okay. By the way, isn't that one of the most beautiful songs you've heard is Psalm 23? Just incredible. All right, I'll do this. Okay. Guys, you can be down here. Surely mercy right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Okay, I want us to try that with Danny playing this with the melody, but I want us to just sing the harmony, okay? So surely goodness, and ladies, if you want to take it up, surely goodness. He's going to be the only one playing the melody. Okay, so sure, one, two, and three. Surely goodness, surely mercy. Time out. So some of you ladies are doing what a lot of us do when we go to sing a harmony. We naturally, like a magnet, go back up to melody. So what I'm asking is, if you can't sing the part, don't sing it, or try to hear the harmony, because that's what we're working on, okay? It sounded beautiful what you guys are doing, but I'm just trying to hear the harmony. So, surely goodness, okay? Just let me have the ladies on that, because once you get started down there, it'll help. So just the ladies, and surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days. Okay, everybody, and surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days. One more time, and I'm going to sing the melody, okay? Don't do what I'm doing. Do as I say, not as I do. No. So, you guys are, everybody is here. Guys are here. Ladies are here. One, two, and three. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days. One more time. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days. He almost had it. It's all my days, guys. Hey, listen, look at what you just did. You didn't sing the melody at all. And you can do this, okay? But it does help to listen. Our time is kind of getting a little short here, so let me finish with a couple of things. Practice, okay? Find somebody who's really good at singing harmony. I mean, a lot of us learned harmony by hanging around with our family around the piano and singing Take Me Home, Country Roads, you know, And you just found somebody who was really good at singing harmony, and you kind of learned. So one of the things you can do, and I asked 5 people I know who are really good harmony singers, how did you learn to do this? These were the things that they encouraged me to encourage you with, is hang out with somebody who sings harmony really well and just start following him. And then don't be afraid, you know. All throughout the New Testament, really the whole scripture, we're told, be not afraid. Don't be afraid of a little bit of what music theory is. I mean, just understanding the reason why you even have harmony is because there's a lot of notes on the piano, and a lot of them sound really good together. And so, fortunately, in what we do, most of it is just going to be 3 parts. You don't have to usually learn a bass part to be on a contemporary worship team, or even what we're doing. This is contemporary worship because they're all new songs. I mean, outside of, you know, Crown Him with Many Crowns, but so much of what we're singing in City of Light and Sovereign Grace are new songs too, right? Most of them, you're just going to be singing 3-part harmony. And depending on where the melody is, let's say the melody is in the guy's part. Well, then the alto part is going to be the 3rd above that. So the kind of the part you hear when you want to sing harmony and you just hear what you hear, 2-part harmony. The 3rd part will be, the soprano part would be the 5th. It will make that nice 3-part chord. But a lot, the melody is in the soprano line, so sopranos, high singers, you got it made. You know, you don't have to worry that much about harmony, but the altos and the tenors have to worry about, or the guys. Very rarely, fellas, will you have to do what Johnny and I were doing, a bass part, you know. Just doesn't happen in contemporary music that much, Christian music. And again, try to listen to anything but the melody, okay? Let's see. Did that. Okay, great. Oh, wow. Jesus Strong and Kind is a great harmony song, by the way. Again, sight reading, okay? And I'll finish with this, or we'll throw it open to some questions. One of the best things you can do to learn how to read music is to use a hymnal. They make it very easy for you. The soprano, okay, in a hymnal, you've got two of these staves where the notes are. And the top one is the ladies' voices, soprano and alto, and the bottom one is the tenor and the bass, and it has its own clef signature. You don't have to worry about that. But try to maybe have somebody play those parts for you, and you can start reading the roadmap. The thing about music is a lot of it is very simple. It really is. If you sing high, if you're starting here and you want to sing higher, the note will go up. If you're starting here and you want to go lower, it'll go down. So it's pretty counter. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty intuitive if you learn that not to be afraid of something. Your music pastor, your minister of music, will not throw you a copy of the Messiah this Sunday and have you try to read it. Okay, he's going to give you, Come Thou Fount, maybe from the hymnal. And you can learn those parts easy, and I'd really encourage you to do it. Because honestly, this is a little confession. Because I had my eyesight thing, I learned to memorize stuff so fast that I didn't really start learning to read music until I was almost in college. And it is really helpful to be able to do it. So again, if we're talking about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, and giving God acceptable worship, one of the things we can do is just not be satisfied with where we are. How am I going to get better at this? What are some things that I can do? We wouldn't do that with our Christian life, would we? God sanctifies us every day, doesn't he? Praise God for that. I mean, like, I just turned 70 in November, and he's still sanctifying me. And isn't that wonderful? He doesn't leave us where we are. He wants us to be more conformed to his image. So again, let me just close with this. Trying to remember why we do what we do, I would really encourage you to go over those last few verses of Romans 11, 33 to 36. And just remember who it is that we serve. And then faithfulness. Can somebody have your phone with you and can read this? This is just such a great verse because our faithfulness as worship team members is so important. Can somebody look up 1 Corinthians 15:58? You got it? Okay, who's got it? Let me see a hand. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Oh, okay. We have somebody right here. Would you mind standing and reading it? I just want us to hear this. This is maybe a credo for us, okay?
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen. We got about 5 minutes. You want to, okay, but we don't have, they do have their hymnals. You guys have your books with you, your hymnals?
We got a couple of questions.
We do. All right. You sure? Okay. So I will. I see that hand and I'll pray for it. Kate, we're going to take a couple of questions while you're looking for Jesus Strong and Kind. I believe it's 326, 362. 362 or 326? 362. Okay. Jesus, strong and kind. We're going to look at it. But in the meantime, we have some questions. So go ahead.
I don't know if I missed that. I wanted to ask, did you talk about Saturday night and what that was?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Again, being a good steward of our voices is being ready to sing on Saturday night and not 5 minutes before the rehearsal on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? I used to love going out and spending time on Saturday nights, hanging out with my friends and everything. But I realized that it's probably not the best way to be a faithful worship team member. If I was going for an interview for my dream job, okay, I would make sure I dressed properly, that I had a time to shower, picked out my outfit, and made sure that the night before I wasn't up until 1 a.m. and came in like this, you know. And I think sometimes we're a little too casual with the use of our time on Saturdays. Really, Saturdays should be where we're preparing for Sunday morning. Okay? That's a great question, and thank you for reminding me.
Thank you.
Yes. Did you? Hers. Anybody else? Speak it out, because I probably am not seeing you. Anybody? Yes. Right.
Scale bases are going down.
Yes.
And so it's kind of a counterpoint.
True.
So what we're looking for is some place in the middle that still parts.
Right.
My question is, I've known people who have the ability to sing with other individuals, and they're like half a step from the other person.
Oh, when the harmony is that tight?
What is that called?
Well, it's very rare in what we're doing. It's mostly jazz harmonies. It's like pentatonics, if you've heard of pentatonics, or take six. I personally love singing that stuff, but you're probably not going to be asked to do that on a Sunday morning. But we call those clusters, where you've got like three notes that are right next to each other, but they're very rare in what we're doing. Well, yeah. I know people who sing... I know people who do sing a half a step higher than they're supposed to, and then they're right up against, but that's another story. Okay, here's the joke. People say, I can't even carry a tune. And I'm like, you can carry a tune, you just have trouble unloading it. Okay, so Jesus strong and kind. Yeah, go ahead and stand. Let's sing this together. And if you can read the part, that'd be great. And if your friend next to you can't read the part, have them sing along with you. Two and three and four.
Jesus said it, I and thy fears, I should come to him.
Great, altos.
Still one else could strong and kind.
One and two and three and four.
Jesus said it, I should come to him. No one else can lay by saying, I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will be my strength and pride. We can always trust to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind.
And again? Huh? That's it.
Verse acapella.
Well, let's just do the chorus. For the Lord is strong. Yeah, for the Lord is strong, a cappella. One, two, three.
For the Lord is strong and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus strong and kind.
Amen. Let me close for us, and I'm here. If you have a minute, you can we can come on up and talk. What time's the next thing start? 2:45. We have a break. So if you want to use your break to come and ask questions, that's great. Let me pray. Thanks, you guys, for being here. You're delightful. Lord, thank you. Oh God, thank you that you are a strong and mighty and powerful God, but your loving kindness is everlasting. Your word tells us that it's your kindness that draws us to repentance. We're so grateful for that. And we want to represent you so well and not give our second best, because this incredible gift that you gave us of music is so powerful. We don't want to use it with the wrong attitude. We don't want to use it with the wrong preparation. Heavenly Father, we pray that everything we do would be acceptable and holy and perfect, because that's who you are. In Christ's name, amen.